and is used to describe the unconditional love that God has for humans. And the love that God and the love that humans have for God in return. In Christianity, agape is considered the most highest form of Christian love that God shows for us. By sacrificing his son, Jesus, to atone for human sin, when we speak of the word atonement, it is important for you and I to understand that God knew that there was no way any man could restore back into him for yourselves, back into God, and back into right fellowship from where we lost fellowship from the Garden of Eden. The atonement answered the ultimate problem of man, which was still and is sin, because man sinned against God. It knocked us up out of fellowship with him. And it knocked us out of the place. It knocked us out of the sonship with him. It knocked in sonship is when you are connected to somebody, not just by word, but you're connected to them by the blood. You got a deep affection for them. You got a deep hunger for them. And we lost that hunger when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And the only way for us to get back and acquire God's love back, we was going to need a savior, one without spot, blemish, to take our sins upon his shoulders and carry them as he was the ultimate champion and the ultimate sacrifice for me and you. I mean, think about it. He was the ultimate person. He was the only person that could go and take all the sins of the world, every one of our sins. But can't no just ordinary person could have done that. It had to be God. It had to be the Son to be able to do that. The love of God is spoken as a divine, true, and everlasting gift from the Father. God's love is for everyone whom will accept it. Get this, whom will accept it. There's not everybody who's going to accept the love of God. Some people are just going to blow it off. They're just going to disregard it. It's just like, it could be like your spouse or your kids. You know, they don't go around and tell you, I love you, I love you, I love you enough. They just expect that love. They just think it's just there, to where you don't have to just outwardly say it. You're just supposed to know, hey, I love you, and that should be enough just by the way I treat you. But God, he wants us to tell him that that we love him. That's why he says pray his word back. That's conversation back with God. When you pray the word back to him, and not only you praying the word back to him, you're praying his word, his love back to him. So what do you get back when somebody gives you love? You reciprocate that love. You give it and they give it back to you. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The scripture tells us, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. This man died for us. Think about that. Comprehend that. Somebody dying for you. Somebody, he doesn't, you haven't had supper with him, you ain't went bowling with him, you ain't went fishing with him, but this man died for me and you, and he didn't have to do it, but he did, and praise God he did. He volunteered himself because he understood not just anybody's going to come to my daddy, not anybody's just going to just come and say, hey, I'm with the Father. No, and you got all this sin on you, and you've got all this nastiness on you. No, so I have to stand in front of you and present you as a living and holy sacrifice to my Father before we can accept you, because he's not accepting everything. He's not taking in everything. The only pure and clean vessel that could have done this and for this thing and the assignment that was placed upon him was Jesus. Not only did he take our place, rather, he died for all the sins of all mankind, that we might know him as Savior and Lord. John 3:16-17, it says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And as you take each breath today, remember to take remember who gave you that breath, who stood in a place to where you can breathe that breath. You know, it's not just your breath. Your breath is the breath of God, because back in the garden, what did he do when he made man and man became a living soul? He laid Adam out. And what did he do? He blew into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. So therefore, when you're breathing, don't take it for granted, because you're breathing the breath of God. You're inhaling him and then you're exhaling him, because the only way you can inhale something is with through the power that he gives in the lungs. You're able to breathe, you're able to inhale and exhale, because why? He gave you that. He gave you that when he stood over you. And it wasn't just that he stood over you and breathed. He didn't just stand up somebody like, or at least she is to me, and I'm just going to, no, he bent over on you. He got intimate with Adam and blew his precious blood into his body to where he became a living soul. And that right there, that's love. That's what I call love. When somebody will take their own DNA and place it upon you. And not only did he place his DNA upon you, he put his every attribute in you. When he blew into you, he blew in love, he blew in forgiveness, he blew himself into you. I'm talking about the love of God. 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in the love of God, God abides in him and you and me. I love that, because when we're talking about abiding with somebody, we're talking about having fellowship. We're talking about wanting to be around that person. We're talking about wanting to sup with them, wanting to be in intimate relationship with them, wanting to, I ain't talking about husband, I'm talking about God. You want to get to know him. You want to spend time with him. There's no other place you'd rather be but with him. Why? Because he sent his own son to die for us. I don't know how I feel sending my only child, Maya, to die for me or anybody else. My only child, one that I birthed out. You know, even though God didn't have intimacy with Mary, he did by the Holy Spirit. You know, and the thing about that was an intimate, that was a sacred thing to do. But God was so awesome. He said, you know what? Even though I'm gonna have this child, even though I'm not gonna know the mother in regular sense, I'm going to know her intimately. And that right there is more precious. That's more powerful than any other kind of love, when you get that intimacy with it, because that's that private time. That's that time spent alone. That's that me and you time that can't nobody come and interrupt. It's just kind of like back in school, you had Elmer's glue and then you kind of stuck together. And that's what abiding is. That's when you get stuck in with God to where there's nothing that can tear you apart, because you want to be in the love of God. You want to feel his presence. You want to feel his arms. You want to hear him talk to you. You want for him to lead and guide and direct you into the right paths. Still, the love of God. This is why we want to know and believe that God is who he says he is, and that when he tells us, like in Psalms 37:4-5, it says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. And then, but there's always a thing with it. He'll give it to you, but you got to do something in order to be able to have it. You got to commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He said you got to commit everything. That means those things that you got hidden away that you think can't nobody see. He says you got to bring even that to the table. You got to lay it out, show it out. Don't. He said come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy in the time that you need it. So therefore, if I'm wanting to obtain mercy, that means I need to commit everything that I'm holding dear to me. I have to give it up. I say, here, Daddy, take it. I can't do this because if I give it to you, then you're going to take all the weight. You're going to take all the sin. You're going to take everything that's trying to hold me down. You're going to take it away. And then I will be able to receive my heart's desires, because why? I gave you everything that you told me to give you. I'm not leaving nothing to chance. I'm taking it to the altar. It may be the altar at church. It may be the altar of your home, but I'm taking it to you, God, because you said that I can find my trust in you. I can find my peace in you. I can find my help in you if I just commit my ways unto you. Committing my ways unto you. I'm still talking about the love of God, who takes all of our messed up ways on a daily basis. From the time we wake up, he's taking care of us. He's ordering our steps. He's leading and guiding us. From the time we open our eyes, you know, he said, you know what? Your attitudes and your nastiness, your selfishness, your unforgiving, your argumentative spirit, your unruly spirit, I'm taking every characteristic off of you. Because why? I want you to be able to receive my love. Because when you are boggled down with all of those entities, you cannot take on the love of God and do it with a right frame of mind and with a right heart. Because what? He says, only the pure in heart shall see God. And if you ain't walking with a pure heart, if you ain't living with a pure heart, if you're not talking with a pure heart, how do you think that you're going to be able to stand before a righteous and holy God? There is no way, and it's not going to happen. He wasn't bored when he built hell. There is a fiery indignation for you if you do not live up to the characteristics of God. There is a roadmap. There is a plan. That's why I always say the Bible, basic instruction before leaving earth, it tells you the road map to follow. It tells you step by step to get yourself in order to be able to have his love, not just in heaven, but you can have the love of God here on earth. You don't have to be without the love of God. You don't have to be lonely. You don't have to always have to have somebody snugged up against you. You don't have to have somebody else's arms around you. All you need to do is have the love of God, and he will direct any and everything that you're lacking. He will give it to you. He said, I'll give it to you liberally. You don't even have to beg for it. You don't even have to say, Lord, I'm just in need. He sees, he knows. He's your father. And what he's telling you to do, come to the throne of grace, to where you can achieve and you can have everything you want from me. You can have all the love. You can have all the freedom. You can have all the joy. You can have everything I have. Just commit to me. Just give me everything. Commit your ways in every way to God, and he will bless you. He will give you the desires of your heart. But you got to do something. You got to do something. It's kind of like you give, he'll give. You step, he'll step. But he ain't going to go over your step. He's not going to go over you. Come on now. That's what happened in the garden. That free will messed us up. But you know what? He knew it would. He knew it would. He knew that free will. And when you think about it, that free will can kind of like be a sin. It can mess you up. It can tear you up. Yeah. And if you don't stick to the Bible, if you veer off to the left too much, it may take you so far to where you're like, I can't even get back. I can't even back. I don't know the direction because I done slipped away for so long. I don't even know what's up, what's down, what's left, what's right. Because why? I have deviated from the word. I have said, you know what? I'm cool. I can do this on my own. How many times have we said that? How many times have we said, I can make it on my own? Okay, you know what? Throw your rod out there. Throw your fishing line out there. How far is it going to cast until you're going to say, reel me in back, God. Reel me back in. Reel me back in. Because why? I can't do it. I can't do it. It's just like when he told Peter and the other apostles, cast your net over on the right side. Cast your net over here. Well, we're professional fishermen. We've been fishing all night. There ain't nothing over there. Cast your rod over there. I said, cast it over there. See what you're going to get. And what happened? They got back a great harvest, and the nets began to break. They couldn't even hold all the blessings of God. That's what happens when we commit our ways unto God. He said, throw your commitment, throw your problems, throw your worries, throw everything that's trying to boggle you down. Give it to me. I'll take it. You know what? And throw it over there in the sea. And he says, throw your problems, throw your sins, throw your issues over into the sea of forgiveness, never to be brought up out again. To where when you're brought out, in the clean, and you're cleansed and for the righteousness and the work of God. I'm talking about characteristics of love of God that you got to have in order to be able to see him in peace. Because if you ain't showing the love of God, don't think you're going to get in. It's a very narrow road. He said, only the pure in heart shall see God. And then he talks about the road that is narrow. Not everybody's going to get in. Not everybody's going to get it. People think that you're saying, oh, I'm in church every day. I'm in church Wednesday nights. I'm in church Sunday mornings. I'm in church. I'm on the praise team. I'm ushering. I'm doing this. I'm doing. Okay, yeah, you're doing all that. That's called works. There's a difference in living the word of God and just your works. Sometimes your works, you just want that pat on the back to say, I did this. I did that. And hey, look at this. Look, I helped that person get the salvation. Hey, look at that. Oh, wow, I brought them. You didn't bring nobody. God says, I will that no man should die and perish. He said, I will be that person. I will be that father. I will be that mother. I will be every entity that you need me to be. All I'm asking you is just commit yourself unto me. I'm just asking you to give me everything that is killing you. Because my love is so much stronger than what is trying to hold you down, what is trying to weight you down. My love can bring you up out of it, but you first got to commit your ways all unto me. 2 Peter 3:9 says, instead, he is patient for your sake, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. He said, I'm patient. I am waiting. How long has he been waiting? He's been waiting ever since I was a child. I heard that he was waiting. I'm 48 years old, so I've been waiting for a long time for him to break open that sky. So therefore, since he has not broken the sky open, he's not come down on the cloud to receive everybody up, then that means he's being patient with each and every one of us. He's being patient and waiting for you to get yourself together, because until you get yourself together, you're going to continue going through the hell here, the hell there, the hell this. You know, the thing about it is, because that's a choice. That's a choice that you're making. You're choosing either to love God right, or you're choosing to just walk away. And he says, instead, he is patient for your sake, meaning I am waiting for your sake. I'm waiting it out for you. I'm standing on the sidelines rooting for you. You can do it. Don't turn back. Stay in me, because I don't want you to perish. I don't want you to not be able to see me in peace. I don't want my father to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for God, I never knew you. But God, I did this. But God, I did that. You did your works. You didn't do it for me. You did it to get your glory. You did it to get your praise. You did it to get your pat on the back. So you know what? That's all you have received there on this earth. But here, let me show you another place where you're going to get all the stuff that you've ever wanted. That's talking about the lake of fire. And yet he still wants us to get it right. He still wants us to get it right. He don't want anybody to perish. He wants us to get it right on a daily basis. And he still is trying to show us that there is a better way, a safer way, a more loving way. In Romans 8:37-39, this is Paul talking. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much that he died for us. Overwhelming, that means it just overflows. It don't stop. It's continually. It's like that scripture says. It says, pray without ceasing. That means it's a continual prayer. You are praying and praying and praying and praying. You don't stop. You know, I heard one time somebody said, it's a song out. I can't remember who sings it, but it talks about, let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name, but let your knees wear out the floor. I said, oh, that is tight in that song. Let your knees wear out the floor. So that means I'm going to pray until something shakes. I'm going to pray until something moves. I'm going to pray until I hear heaven open up. I'm going to pray and give you the honor and the glory. Even if it takes years, I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to believe that you're going to show up, because you told me, don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting. Don't stop this. Don't stop that. Stay in me and I will give you your heart's desires, but you got to stay in me. And the victory will come. It will be an overwhelming victory to where you look back and like, oh God, it was, I could have only been you. You was the only one that can bring me and brought me out. You were the only one that was able to order my steps to where I did not deviate so far out to where I couldn't have, I wouldn't be able to feel your love. It was only you. You're overwhelming. You gave me the victory in you, because why? I chose to love you in spite of all that I'm going through. I chose to love you. I chose the right side of you. I chose the trusting side of you. I trusted in you, God. So now I'm receiving the overwhelming victory in him. Verse 38, it says, for I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither, I love this part, that neither death nor principalities, things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers. 39 says, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other thing created will be able to separate us from the ultimate love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's just awesome. He said, no, I don't care how high the hill gets. I don't care how deep the valley goes. I don't care how far we are separated. But he said, you can be separate from me, but I'm never separate from you. We separate ourselves from God. He don't separate ourselves from him. He's right there still standing, beckoning you to come, 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 come. I'm waiting. I'm my patience. I'm waiting. So therefore, I ain't separated from you. You separated from me. You know, I heard a story one time said this man was driving a car and his wife was sitting next to the door. And the man said, the wife said, why are we distant? Why we ain't close no more sitting, you know? He said, because I've never changed my position. I've been sitting and driving in the same spot. You the one that moved over. And that's just like us. God's been standing, waiting on us in the same spot. It has not changed. It's us that move. It's us to deviate. It's us to go the wrong way. When he clearly says, he said, that's just like in Deuteronomy 30 and 19, he said, when I put blessings and curses right in front of you, God was so awesome in that chapter. He gave us the answer. He said, choose life. So your descendants will live. So that means, so my kids, my nieces, my nephews, my brothers, my sisters, your lineage, your family tree would live. But yes, so you had to make a choice. That's one thing I love about that scripture, because when he said, I was like, oh, you think we real dumb? Because, I mean, you can find humor in the word. You'd be like, are you serious? But he said, yeah, I'm serious. You know what I'm going to do? Choose life. Do you not read? Are you not seeing what I wrote on the paper? He said, choose life. And the thing about that, when you choose life, you're choosing not to be separated from God. You're choosing not to be on one side of the specter and he's over here. He said, I ain't moved. My position has never changed. I'm still standing here waiting on you to come to me. And not only am I waiting for you, I am there with open arms. He said, even when you fall down, I'm there to pick you up. And I don't want you to lay down so long to where you fit and that enemy starts to bam, 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 knocking on you, beating you down even further. No, get up from your sin, rise up, clean yourself off, dust yourself off, and move on. Ain't that what David had to do when he found out that the baby died, the baby that Bathsheba and them, you know, they done hid together? He told the people, he'd rent his clothes and he went to praying. And then he told the people, I'm still the king. You know, he had to assert who he was. And he said, in my mind, I think he just shook himself loose and be like, I'm going to assume my position. I'm still the king. Go fix me a plate. I'm going to eat. My mourning is over. So therefore, when you get out of your mourning state, God is still waiting to take you up. He's still waiting for you. And that's what he wants you to know this morning. The love of God is still waiting for you. The love of God has never left you. You have left the love of God, not him. His love never changes. His love just gets stronger and stronger each day. But this scripture right here just got me. He said, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other thing created will be able to separate us from the ultimate love of God. You know, the ultimate love of God, that's the ultimate saying. There's no other thing. Is that mean ultimate? That means it's limitless. God's love is limitless, you know, and it's right there for us. All we have to do is just reach out and touch it. You don't have to do anything for it. You just have to get yourself and commit your ways unto him and believe that he is what he says he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's what he wants us to know this morning. We need to be diligently seeking him because he wants you to know the love of God. He don't want you out here trying to solicit your love or trying to beg somebody to love you. You got a savior. You got a God who will love you unconditionally, who will love you past you. And that's awesome. Love me past all of my mess ups. Love me past what I may have said last night, how I acted last week, but you still yet love me? Oh, my God. I may have not have forgiven that person. He said, but I forgave you. I forgave you. We have to get into a point where it's like the love of God will give you the strength and the power to overcome what is trying to overcome you. Yeah, yeah. He said, I give you. You just got to. Come on. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. That's what he said. He said in the Bible, it said, come on up a little higher. I'll make your enemies your footstools to where you ain't got to do nothing. But just stay in me and you'll see me rise you up and you'll see the downfall of who's been trying to take you out. But the thing about it is you got to love me enough to come and give me the issue before you try to take on the issue that never was yours to take on in the first place. Because he said, when I take you to the higher heights and the deeper depths, that means I'm taking you to new levels and new dimensions in me. I'm taking you where you cannot go yourself. And you cannot go nowhere without the love of God leading and guiding you and directing each path that you take every morning. Is there any questions today? I'm right on time, Pastor Sonia, 11:14. Yes. Amen. I thank God for this word. I thank God for each and everything that he's doing and what he's going to do. The love of God is so powerful. It's something that you must have. You've got to have. You cannot. There's no other greater love. You can love your spouse. You can love your kids. But ain't nothing like the love of God. He will wrap his loving arms around you. I know for a fact he will. I've felt his arms around me several times before. And when you feel that love, it's a love like no other.